I think Ty, we have one more. Tony, right up here. Ty, right up front. Tony has one more for us.
Because the image of fire does seem so dangerous, I envision the Holy Spirit as more like liquid sunshine. There's fire in there, but it's liquid and it's not going to burn. You can feel the intensity, but it's not pain, it's not dangerous. It is of God coming down.
So fire kind of inside you that you can feel the energy, but it doesn't hurt you. Thank you, Todd. Come on back over. Right, so I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit feels like for me, because you know, did you get that for everybody it's a little different? It's like not exactly the same thing. For me, it's like this little brush, and I have it right now, goosebumps. And it's got a bit going on right now over this. Can you see a little bit? This little brush of goosebumps, and then this tingly feeling inside. Does that happen all the time? So let's look at this for a minute. And I want you to take a minute to look at everybody in the eye in the circle. Look around the circle. Look at everybody in the second group in their eyes for a minute, because the eyes are the window to the soul. And let's pray, dear Lord. Thank you for sending us your Spirit. We know that your Spirit can come at any time, in any place, and works in us to do good things. We don't have to be adults. We can be babies. We can be children. There's no age where the Spirit decides when to come or not. It's a gift from you, and we gladly accept and receive it to lead us into the way that you would have us go. So we thank you for the Spirit of fire that descends upon all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, say, I believe Paul, I think we go outside. This is a beautiful day.
So today is Pentecost Sunday. And it is the day that we celebrate the birth of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit with fire and wind. And for me, it's a reminder, too, that these are gifts that come upon the gathered people. And those of us who gather together, just like the very first community that gathered, after Jesus was taken into heaven, the Holy Spirit came as a gift to each and every one of us as a reminder that we are the presence of Jesus in the world. We are the hands and feet of Christ in the world. We are the love of God in the world. And so the Spirit is here, empowering us and bolding us. I'm like a little bit nervous and excited as I was really close to the fire as I'm watching it kindle out. And that is also a reminder. Like, I'm watching this fire and it's burning out slowly. I'm thinking, oh, I want that excitement back when it first started. But it's a celebration of that gift of the Spirit that always nudges us and comforts us and offers us healing and strength. And it's for all of us. So thank God for that. So today is a really special Sunday, and I thought Pentecost would be a great way for us to move into what we're going to have this year, which are called Gratitude Sundays. And we have them sprinkled throughout the year, different times of the year, in between our message series. So this is our first Gratitude Sunday, and I'm really excited about this because it is a Sunday for all of us, the church, the gathered people of God, to celebrate and say thank you. It's an opportunity to realize that gratitude is more than a feeling. It's a virtue. It's a practice that we can live into. So gratitude is a gift that I experience individually, but it's also lived in community. And we're going to celebrate that in these Sundays. So I am going to stop talking now because there is so much to say, and I'm so grateful for the four people who are going to share their gratitude stories this Sunday. So I am going to just jump right in and invite Donovan to come forward to share his story today.
Gratitude. My heart is full of gratitude for hand-drawn masterpieces by six-year-old boys. Drawn by little hands and big hearts with crayons, these two framed pieces have filled my heart and sustained me many times over the years. They both hold a featured spot directly behind my computer screen on the wall of my office, and I've been recharged by looking at them every day, many times. But let me briefly tell you about the artists. The one on the left hand is drawn by a six-year-old named Tristan Steintold. Tristan is now 17 and will be a senior next year. He will graduate next year with his diploma as well as an associate degree from college and wants to be an astrophysicist and work for SpaceX and some future startup space company. He's passionate about Japan and Japanese culture and is one of the kindest people I know. The two of us have had a tough last 6 years living 3,000 miles apart. 2013 for me was kind of one of those nights of the soul. As his mom and I separated shortly after Mars moved from Portland, Oregon to Morristown, New Jersey, and we divorced and he moved home. Being a day's flight away from my best bud was not easy as a dad, and I spent many nights that year crying as I went to sleep and panicking when he wouldn't text me back, and I texted him. I was broken many times that year, and this little piece of art on the left that I looked at in my office every day gave me some hope in those dark days. In December 2013, I spent a week on a Christmas trip at an orphanage in Haiti where I sponsor a boy, and each morning and evening I would walk on the beach and cry and pray and ask why. And during that trip, I really hit rock bottom and felt broken, and I just gave it to God and said, I'm going to choose gratitude. I have so much. And even in the sorrow, you know, I said, there's joy here. And 4 weeks later, I met the six-year-old artist who drew this other one on the right. So Maddox, who's standing in the back there, is 12 years old now. He's one of the wittiest, funniest, and smartest kids I know. We spent that first day when I met him 4 weeks later sledding all day, and he's brought so much joy into my life, joy beyond any that I imagined or dreamed of. When I was broken on that beach in Haiti and hurting deeper than I had ever known before, and I couldn't imagine the gratitude that I feel for both of these boys. And 4 years after that day, last January 5th, a judge awarded me adoption rights as his dad. So I look at these two hand-drawn masterpieces and my heart is so full of gratitude. The one on the left has a typed note, which you might not be able to read, but the teacher wrote on there Tristan's words, "The best day with my dad was a day I remember when we went fishing. But you probably don't know that I had the best time ever." The second one, which you can't really see because it's kind of cut off to put them both on there, has a huge redwood tree and an airplane, and it's from Maddox. He says, "Thank you, love Maddox," and he's sharing his gratitude for a trip we took to California. I treasure these two pieces of art, and I'm so grateful for them, and I'm grateful for the two artists who gave them to me. I'm grateful that even in the darkest hours that I've had, I can find hope in these kind of small artifacts that are in fact tokens of a much deeper, deeper love. That's it.
There are tissues around the room. Thank you for sharing. I'm going to invite Kelly to come forward now and share her story. Just to say a couple of words, I know a little bit about what Kelly's going to share. And her story reminds me that gratitude is personal, but it also takes a whole community sometimes to express gratitude. And I'm so grateful that gratitude lives in community. And with saying that, I'm going to invite Kelly to come and share her story.
I'm going to cry already. A lot of you know my story. Not long after I returned from Desert Storm, my husband died. And he left me with my two daughters and a 6-month-old son. Not long after that, I was diagnosed with breast cancer for the first time. Before that, going back to that, I went to my doctor, my family doctor, and he told me that, oh honey, you're too young, don't worry about it. It's just a cyst. So he was correct that it was just a cyst. But behind the cyst was a tiny tumor. And if I had listened to him, I wouldn't be here today. So I went to my gynecologist, and she set up tests for me, and they did the needle biopsy, and they found no malignancy. This was 2 weeks before my 34th birthday. Not long, so 17 years went by, and I had my beautiful children that I worked hard for, to be with, and to give them a strong foundation. Then I was welcomed, I came to this community with my ex-fiance. And when I first got to this community, I thought, wow, I finally found home. This is where I want to be. But it was not long after I started here at the barn, I was diagnosed with breast cancer for the second time. And that journey was really tough. So at the time, there were two tumors. And they said, well, we're going to take out the one, but the other one doesn't show that it's malignancy, so we're going to just follow it. Okay, I didn't understand that, given my history, but I listened. A year to the day after that, they found that the second tumor was malignant also. So they had, I had a double mastectomy at that time. And I was living with a man that wasn't very kind. And he didn't like the fact that the love that I received in his community, so it was hard to get him to bring me back and forth. One day I walked through the doors, and a lovely lady met me, and she gave me a hug, and she pressed $20 in my hand, and she said, we want you here, and that whatever it takes, you tell me, and I will be here, and that he has been my love. Meaning has been my love ever since that. This community has welcomed me and has been my family. Through everything that I've been through, ups and downs, they have always been here. When I was going through the cancer, they just lent me with cards. They offered me opportunities to have meals in my home where they love a lot of chicken. And they just took care of me and my family. So when Joe at first asked me about this, I thought, what do I have to be grateful for? This is what I have to be grateful for. This lovely community that has opened their arms to me, that have opened their hearts to me, and that have loved me unconditionally. And my gratitude is right here with all of you.
Diana Butler Bass in her book, Grateful, writes, the strange thing about gratitude is that it always comes with a preposition. We are grateful for something. We are grateful to someone. We are grateful with others. You are never completely alone when gratitude shows up. So I'm hoping you'll read this passage from Colossians with me. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this is going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. instruct and direct one another using good common sense, and sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. And now I would like to invite Dick Brown to share his story of gratitude.
Gratitude. You gotta find things that you're grateful for. You just have to. When we were talking a little earlier about what does the Holy Spirit feel like, the Holy Spirit for me feels like first an encourager and then second an equipper. And I'll give you a couple examples. Might sound like a restaurant advertiser, but there's a great restaurant about 2 years old now in Allentown called Union and Finch. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because the first time I went to Union and Finch, I was by myself. I don't know where Linda was on Sunday, I don't know where Linda was. But so I was by myself and I ordered a cheeseburger. Later, 30 minutes later, I don't have a cheeseburger. So I get a little flustered. I think I was the only one sitting at the bar, and there were maybe two other tables, so it was, you know, somebody was just sleeping, or they lost a ticket, or, you know, I don't know what. But anyway, so then the owner comes over and introduces himself to me, Ed, and we just started talking. Finally the cheeseburger came, and I was thankful for that. But Ed and I started talking. Got to know each other a little bit, not very well, and then we had an issue at Daybreak, the conference where our kitchen had to be shut down because we were redoing the floor in the kitchen, and so we couldn't cook anything in there. So Sue Yoder said, "Why don't you go to a restaurant, that you know, and ask if they would help?" Remember, I don't know all that well. The first time was a 40-minute cheeseburger over here. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit said, you know what? Give it a try. Just give it a try. And when you give it a try, I'm going to equip you with the words. So I took a deep breath, and I went in, and I saw Ed. He's a part owner, and he recognized me, and I kind of proposed this thing to Ed about, could you guys make a meal for about 50 folks at Daybreak? And he didn't know anything about Daybreak. He didn't know anything about the conference. He didn't know anything about anything. But I sensed something. The Holy Spirit said, go for it. I'll give you it. And he did. And Linda and I met, you know, a couple weeks later, and picked up two great big trays of like a pasta, ground beef, and tomato sauce, kind of casserole things he made. And I was just so grateful for his willingness to do something like that. And thanking profusely. That's restaurant one. I wasn't in the restaurant business, so I can tell these stories. Restaurant two, Anthony's Coal Fired Pizza, which a lot of you, I'm really grateful for. Your support of the give back nights that we have here. But I went in, had my little over the edge brochure, started talking to the bartender who went and got the manager, and the manager said, we would love to do that. I said, what do you think? We'd love to give you 750 minutes for you to give away or sell whatever when we were doing the over at the edge event. I thought, holy smokes. I got to know this guy, and I got to know a bunch of their staff. And they are just marvelously generous people that I cannot help but be grateful for. But again, it was the Holy Spirit sort of saying, you know what? Give it a whirl. You know, I mean, worst that can happen is they say no. But they didn't say no. And that was year one. Year two, when we did those two give back nights,
sacrificed $850 as a chunk change that we raised because they were willing to give back 20% of all we spent both eating and paying. How can I not be grateful for that? I mean, it's just amazing to me to watch. And I'm not used to restaurants being that generous. This year, they gave out wings and meatballs. I mean, they didn't charge anything this year. It was just, you know, if they'd like to make a donation. I don't know how much money we raised, but I sure know from like 9 to 3, Anthony was not only providing food for all these people, they were paying 2 people to serve. Wow. That makes a big impression on my heart. And so I just have to mention that. And then my final gratitude. And I'll sort of echo Kennedy a little bit of a different way, is this whole community. I've been in 35 years back, I've been fooling around with faith my whole life, half my life. And I've been in 4 or 5 churches. Remember, we can't join the bond, so we're still members of that is there. But I have never seen such a generous community. Ever. I mean, you guys are absolutely dazzling me all the time with how generous you are. You know, we did Ramos, I mean, all over the place. Crop walk, and she nailed it, all those kinds of things. I'm just going, wow. We're a pretty small group, you know, compared to the big churches. But I've never met, never interacted with a community that was absolutely generous beyond belief every single time. We come up with something that, you know, would you like to help out and support, either by being there or monetarily. It doesn't make any difference, but the support around this community and the willingness of everyone here to do that kind of stuff just will continue to blow my mind and make me very, very thankful for our community.
Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, right? And it reminds me that sometimes gratitude is this overwhelming emotion, but sometimes it's like so quiet, and you have to really intentionally look for it, right? So it pops up in the generosity, and you don't always see the gratitude and its incredible impact that it can have, right? Thinking about the multiple people that working together with our partners in the community can have tremendous loving impact. I'd like to share one more quote by Diana Butler-Bass from her book, Grateful. And I think this goes to what your story shares. She writes, "Gratitude is a defiance of sorts, the defiance of kindness in the face of anger, of connection in the face of division, and of hope in the face of fear. Gratefulness does not acquiesce to evil. It resists evil. That resistance is not that of force or direct confrontation. Gratitude undoes evil by tunneling under its foundations of anger, resentment, and greed. Thus, gratitude strengthens our character and our moral resolve, giving each of us the possibility of living peacefully and justly. It untwists knotted hearts, waking us to a new sense of who we are as individuals and in community. Being thankful is the very essence of what it means to be alive and to know that life abundantly." So now I would like to invite Paula to come forward to share her story of gratitude.
So I actually didn't know what I was going to talk about until just last night. I sort of knew, but this topic that's always been hard for me. So I apologize if I take my time with it. I have so many things to be grateful for. In my life, my health, my kids, my family. But when Laura and I were talking yesterday, he said that this was a no-brainer. It was him that I had to be grateful for. So that's not what we're going with right now. Most of my life has been a secret. Like, I had to keep myself invisible. I'll eventually tell you why. So it was hard for me to open up to anybody. I was suspicious of people. And because of this, people always thought that I was something that wasn't. Just not coming, but that wasn't the case. It was never about them, it was about me. So in time, God put people in my path that would help me, and slowly they would know the truth about me. Whether it be roommates that I had that would stick out their neck to me, or a friend that, even though she's one of the sisters, she's my childhood friend, if I would call her, she jumps on the call. If I needed her. But it was a very small group of people. So when I came to this community, I felt that way too, like guarded. But you guys saw this community. I'm very grateful for that. I never had a group of people who didn't know me was older. Who wanted to help no matter who it was. So that was very different, I think, for both my husband and I. But up to 4 years ago, I was a legal immigrant. So I've been here since I was one, I'm 35 now. When other kids were getting jobs, I wasn't. When other kids were getting their driver's license, I wasn't. But people ask me why, so I would make lies. Because I didn't want their judgment. It's not what it was, it was my situation. But God has used people in my life, in a small group, in helping me, and those who have heard me, He's also managed to turn that table around to work in my benefit. And my gratitude goes to him because without God and the Holy Spirit and the direction, I wouldn't be standing here today. Because going through depression and having that secret weight and then never being my true self, now I'm even having trouble with figuring out why. But I know I'm in there. But in 2 weeks, I finally get to have my citizenship.
Sharing, I know how hard that is, and I am overjoyed to know where you're going to be in just a couple of years. And I know that there are so many stories in this community of gratitude. If you have a story that you would like to share, and I know this is hard, it's really hard to open up and to share your gratitude story. If you would like help, or if you would like to share in your small group, I'm so excited. We have our memoir small group last night. But find those places and those people that you connect with, And when we can share our stories of gratitude, it helps to open us up in deep ways. There's tremendous risk and vulnerability in that, but I think it also leads to deep connection. So I'm going to encourage you to continue to do that. I was saying this morning as well, one of my favorite things about following Jesus is having the opportunity to come to the communion table. Because to me, this table and this meal is also a deep place of connection, a place where we can come as ourselves to open our hearts to the presence of God and to know that God is here with us as we share and celebrate these simple gifts. I'm so grateful for a day like today to hear your stories of courage and resilience and love, the way that you love each other, the way that you love complete strangers, and you risk everything for the sake of love. I'm grateful for the gift of a day like today. I'm grateful for the story, the reminder that Jesus had celebrated the Passover meal with his deepest friends, his dearest and closest friends. And he knew that one of them was about to betray him. With a kiss. And yet he celebrated with them. He offered forgiveness to them. He offered love to them. And he took the bread during the meal. And he gave God thanks for all the good gifts. And he broke the bread and took it. He said, "This is my life given for you and for many. It's a celebration of life so that all may have life and experience to its fullest. As often as you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and he gave God thanks and he blessed it. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me." These are simple gifts, a simple meal for ordinary people to come together and to be gathered in, like heaven gathers and her checks, and God says to us, "This is a way to remember and to share and to celebrate my love, which is for each and every one of you. So as often as you share these gifts, do them in remembrance of me." So now the table is set, the feast is prepared. So come, for all things are now ready.